Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guest, pianist Lars Vogt.
I'm Georgia Flizanis, sitting in for Bill McLaughlin. My guest today is pianist and friend Lars Vogt. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. As concertmaster of the Minnesota Orchestra, I've had occasion to sit on stage with you a couple of times as soloist, and it's been really a sort of anticipation to listen to you play all by yourself. Well, let's get into your program. You've brought, to begin with, two of the bagatelles from Opus 126 by Beethoven, and these seem like, well, I guess as he felt them to be, a sort of little tiny vignettes or little tiny little microcosms of ideas.
Yeah, I think there are maybe some of Beethoven's most amazing and most incredible works. These bagatelles, they're the first two bagatelles of Opus 126. They're his, these Opus 126 are his last, this is his last piano work. So it's even after the last sonata, Opus 111, after the Diabelli variations, and he puts all his wisdom, all his mystic sort of language of music, he puts this in a very small form, and Bagatelle is an incredible, concentrated. Mm-hmm. Bagatelle is an incredible understatement, of course, because it suggests that it's something small, easy, not so important. But maybe in this small form, he can say so much, like you probably can't in an hour or so.
Like in a poem, I mean, very short, or a haiku, something that's very small, but that really tries to consolidate and distill into a very, like almost like a good broth, all of the wonderful things that he's lived through up to that point.
Incredible ideas, and people didn't understand those bagatelles at Beethoven's time yet. Even pupils of Beethoven, like Czerny, thought that those pieces are not so important. He didn't understand yet how visionary they are and how they lead into the future and lead into different worlds, really. These incredibly intimate pieces speak so directly from the soul into the instrument and then out to the people in the ideal way.
Wonderful. Well, let's hear them both. These are the first and second of the bagatelles from Opus 126 by Beethoven, performed for us by Lars Vogt. Thank you. Those are certainly formidable, small moments of utterance from Beethoven. You've just heard the first two bagatelles from Opus 126 by Beethoven, played by our pianist Lars Vogt, who's with us today. Those really do possess that kind of wisdom of Beethoven, the calmness of that first one, that sort of chorale-like comforting, but yet, you know, having gone through so much to get to that place.
Yes. And also it's got lots of structure, polyphony going on at the same time, which you maybe don't even notice when you hear it from the first time. You just get the feeling of a lot of sense and experience being in it.
What's also interesting, of course, is that, you know, as you said, the how forward-looking he is, that here he starts this piece in a pulse of three beats to a bar. One, two, three, one, two, three. And then suddenly, not very many bars into that, he actually breaks out and changes that meter so that there suddenly are two beats to the bar.
Yes.
That kind of really major change from the classical sense of meter and exactness and everything is precisely one way through the whole movement,
yes.
One meter. I mean, this kind of breaking down eventually of all those rules, as it were, really was one of the things that Beethoven has given us, hasn't he, as a composer?
Absolutely. And then the amazing thing is with a genius like Beethoven, you can spend hours analyzing this little piece of 2 minutes because there's so much in it, also in terms of structure. But when you, in the end, the most sense, the music makes most sense if you just listen to it or just play it for yourself or for friends or whatever. And so in the end, you forget all this structure and everything, and you just feel that something special is happening.
Well, I think that is, of course, what's wonderful about music, is that it's really for our pleasure. And
yeah.
I think that was always the intention. I don't think any composer ever dreamed that the audience would come totally prepared to analyze the piece.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when one thinks back over history and the relationship between audiences and new music, for instance, of their time, I mean, what now we come to feel very comfortable with, but what would have might have been extremely groundbreaking at the time. Which brings us to the next work that you brought us, which is groundbreaking in the sense that it's new music, written in 1996 by someone very close to you. The composer's name is Tatiana Komarova, and a very gifted composer from what I can tell from the little bit that I've heard already of the piece in your warming up today. This is, in fact, going to be the first time you'll have played the piece in America. You've been playing it around in Europe, you said, on recitals. Tatiana happens to also be your wife, which is a wonderful relationship to have with the composer, I suppose. Wonderful for you. This is a theme and variations, and it's always wonderful with themes and variations just to see the mastery of invention that comes with that idea. I always imagine with chefs when they look at a potato and they think about, well, here is a potato. Now, what can I do with this potato in this meal to make it absolutely balance everything? I mean, whether it's going to be au gratin, whether it's going to be French fries, whether it's going to be mashed potatoes with garlic, what are they going to do with this potato? And I mean, I always use food analogies. I think it's the thing that brings me most commonly in touch with the creative spirit.
You're a musician just like me, so of course we use food.
Of course. So, I mean, why don't you play us the theme so we can get accustomed to what the actual subject is and what we will be listening to in terms of the variations afterward. A very searching sort of music.
It's a very, in a way, a very easy theme. It's not, there's not a lot happening. It's just two voices. It's very simple, and yet at the same time, it's already establishes quite a special atmosphere, I think.
Well, I look very much forward to hearing the rest of it. This will be the theme and variations for piano by Tatiana Komarova, played by Lars Vogt. Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction to a new voice for us. That was the Theme and Variations by Tatiana Komarova, played by Lars Vogt. And what a wonderful relationship you have with this music.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very proud of that.
Well, I would imagine you should be. It's wonderful to have not only a reminder of how wonderful marriages can be between performers and music, mm-hmm. new music, in terms of really, really loving something so much that when you go to play it, the commitment is so clear. Thank you for helping to introduce us to her. And if any of our listeners are curious and eager now to learn more about Tatiana, please visit our website, which is stpaulsunday.org, and you will find there, I think, a bit beyond just the Theme and Variations, some information about others of her works, and yes, things that we can look forward to in performances and recordings up to date. Are there actually recordings now? You said you recorded this piece.
I have recorded this piece. It's not been released yet. I'm still in the phase of thinking in which combination I want to put this on the CD.
Of course.
I might do this in a combination of variations from other centuries, from Bach mm-hmm. up to our time, really.
Wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to that and look out for it.
Yeah.
I'll take a moment to just say that my guest today is pianist Lars Vogt. I'm Georgia Flusana, sitting in for Bill McLaughlin, and you're listening to St. Paul Sunday. The last work you're going to give us, Lars, is, of course, one of the central popular sonatas of Beethoven, the Appassionata. I guess it's one of those works that every pianist probably is thrilled to have in their back pocket, so to speak. Yeah. I mean, as a real vehicle for not only performance, but also of demonstrating the unbelievable sort of tyrant and yet poet of Beethoven. I mean, the energy I always feel in either playing or listening to Beethoven is pretty hard to find almost in any other composer. Wouldn't you find this sense of drive and almost chasing after and being chased by the fates and furies of life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you put this in wonderful words. And there's really not much to add to this, because this is really the center, the most important aspect of Beethoven, this being chased, this incredible sense of drama. And this is also what caught me already at a very early age, especially with the Appassionata. This was maybe one of the works, maybe the first classical work which I really loved.
Really?
When at the age of, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, I can't remember, I suddenly came across a tape, or my teacher gave me a tape of this piece, and I listened to it over and over and over again. I loved it so much. This was a completely new world for me, the expression of such a drama was even possible in music. This was really like impossible music in a way.
Did you feel a sense of being frightened by it in any way? I mean, not necessarily what it does as a pianist or what the pianist has to do to play it, but is there something of that sense of threatened and potential fear?
Yeah, that is true. On the other hand, you have to always be, when you play the piece, you always have to be in control of this whole thing at the same time. But still, that this music even exists puts so many questions to our existence in a way already. And it's a very deep piece. And when I worked this with my teacher, he said some very interesting things about this. For example, about the last movement, which is very often played as a very virtuoso and fast piece and to show off technique. And he said that this is much more a piece which goes merciless towards death.
Yes.
And and when you come to that point, then you'll play it differently. Then
yes.
It's not a showpiece anymore. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes a very, very serious thing.
Right. In fact, I think Tovey, the wonderful writer that wrote about music at the turn of the century, said that that last presto in the last movement that you're referring to, gives the image of rushing deathwards.
Yes.
I mean, really rushing toward the
yes.
end,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I mean. But in a way, that's the fear and the frightening aspect of Beethoven that makes you almost feel the tremor of what he was looking at, what he was seeing in that sense of the conflict of his life and the desperateness, I think, that he felt probably through much of his life, you know, when the music really gets into this kind of larger than life in the broadest sense, the picture of, as you say, of existence and the difficulty of existence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm now so incredibly anticipatory of the minutes ahead and hearing you play this sonata in full. We will now hear the sonata in F minor, opus 57, the Appassionata by Beethoven and performed by our pianist Lars Vogt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bravo, Lars. Thank you. Overwhelming experience to have up close, and such wonderful playing. That was the Appassionata Sonata played for us by Lars Vogt, and wow, I mean, just formidable. I mean, thank you for the skill of your hands and your heart and your brain, and thank you for transmitting the genius of Beethoven. I mean, a real someone to build our lives around and through.
Oh, yeah.
As always.
That's true. Thank you.
Well, you know, what's really remarkable is I listen to a performer one-on-one like this, and I realize it doesn't matter how many times one hears a piece of music.
Yeah.
It isn't about hearing it again. Mm. It's like living through the whole life and terrors and
everything
that a human being goes through, and living it through in this most ordered fashion, but yet at the same time it's like holding a jar full of mad bees.
Yes,
I mean, there's so much energy in the creative process.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to funnel your own personal life through the charted waters of the life of Beethoven. I mean, that's the other aspect of the way in which we both as players, and the way we also then convey that to the audience, to the listener. That's the sort of communion with, in a way, the wisdom of creative genius.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really, really gives us something to hang all of our sort of swirling lives onto in a way that makes it better the next time.
Gives an incredible sense, music. There are not many things in this world that really make sense, and music is definitely one of them.
I couldn't agree more. Well, I'd like to thank Lars Vogt for joining me today and giving so much of his wonderful musical personality and playing personality. Please let us know what you think. Write us at our email address, which is sunday@mpr.org. I'm Georgia Fluzanis. Bill McLaughlin will be back next week. I hope you enjoy today's music and performances, and that you'll tune in again to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by This Public Radio International Station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. Today's guest host is Georgia Fluzanis. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Carrie John Franklin. And the associate producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Alan Strickland. And the production engineer is Scott Liebers. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
Listening to Folk Dances from Moravia as performed by the Skampa String Quartet, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.